come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, surprises, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
Well, I have to be honest with you.
Okay.
I called this.
What'd you call?
I called this.
What'd you call?
Like everybody else.
Don't say it.
Who said when Tom Brady signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh.
Did I or did I not?
Just hand him the Lombardi
trophy. I didn't say hand him.
That's what everybody else assumed they were going to do.
I didn't say hand him. I said Tom Brady will take the Bucs to the Super Bowl. And if you listen to this show, and you're on it and you don't, so people that do listen, I'm not necessarily a Bucs fan.
That's true.
You know, I have said it. I've said it at the Players Show. It's what I do.
Sure.
It's my new favorite commercial, Kevin Hart. You know, when he's screaming and about the credit card.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, I'm right here. Why are you screaming? Because it's what I do. That's what I do.
This is what you do.
I said this was going to happen.
Win or lose, is he still the GOAT?
Absolutely.
But there's a new GOAT on the horizon.
First of all, see.
If Mahomes wins two in a row at 12 years old.
Why do you rile me up 2 minutes into this dang radio program?
My job. It's what I do.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth? And you just did something off the air that'll prove to me that I will never invite you to anything else. An awesome event is right around the corner.
Okay.
A massive polo event in Sarasota. Tickets start at $100.
Okay.
VIP, food, open bar. I was going to take you. Now I'm not.
Because
you're an idiot.
Because I'm going to bring my swimsuit.
Because you're an idiot.
Is it water polo or is it like regular polo? Because it matters. Because the horses will drown. And I don't want to be responsible for a horse drowning. Is that what they do after the Kentucky Derby? They play polo? So they race first, and like at the end of their career, they go into like polo?
I'm not even listening to you.
It's kind of like MMA guys that are MMA fighters, and they go into bare knuckle. So it's like extending their career, and it's only like one side of the discipline.
I wasn't listening. I was texting. I was setting up guests. I will break the announcement now. I will be broadcasting on Radio Row next week, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday,
ooh,
from 1 to 3.
Okay.
Wednesday, our typical show.
Wow.
I'm still scared about Tuesday, got to be honest with you, because I don't know what's going to go on.
Sure.
I don't, you know.
So Wednesday, am I going with you? Am I radioing it in from here? Are we together? What are we doing Wednesday?
I don't really want you around. I really don't.
I mean, it's the Super Bowl, so you're going to need somebody to drive you and, like, protect you and usher you around.
Well, I mean, I've got those people lined up.
Right, I'm sure.
I don't need you to get me in trouble. I can do that all by myself.
In trouble.
But the plan is that it's going to be outstanding. Already starting to line up guests. Kevin Carter will be on.
Yeah.
John McLaughlin coming in town. He's going to be on.
Is Kevin going to do the making wishes or waiting on wishes this year?
I did get some upsetting, shocking news. There will not be one in April. And the final Waiting for Wishes, the finale, will be next year.
Because I thought they would do it because of the bombing for, you know, Christmas Day. It'll be a great time to give back to that community.
But nobody wants to go out. Nobody wants to do that yet.
That's true.
You know, and like I had an event to go to last night and I didn't go.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
Sure.
And I want to and I don't want to.
Right. Of course.
So kind of good news in the Super Bowl world as one of my wife's closest working partner.
Okay.
Got a ticket to the Super Bowl.
That's pretty exciting.
So she's very excited.
Scalp that thing for like 20 G's. Can you scalp them or sell them?
No.
Transfer them?
No.
Give them away?
Nope.
Trade them for a car?
No, I don't think you can do any of that.
Really?
You have to.
Because the going price right now is like upper nosebleed, like up in the rafters, is like 16 grand.
It's absolutely crazy. I get it. I understand. You know, I had a talk with my brother who wanted to go. He had a number. Anything above that number, He's not interested.
Sure.
But in a way, it's going to be better because you're not going to have people right next to you.
Sure.
You're not going to have.
But who do you high five when there's a touchdown?
Yourself?
No, we can't high five yourself.
Why not?
Not a Super Bowl.
I just did it.
You look stupid. Do it again. Can you do it again for the radio audience? That's fine.
Sure.
But no, I mean, we can make a whole show out of that. But listen, you got to high five your neighbor. That's the whole point. You spill beer. You
won't be spilling beer.
How are you going to pass the money to the vendor? There's nobody from
no
you.
Money.
There's six seats empty.
But it's no money. It's cashless.
What?
Yep.
What? Well, I don't like this new world order we're in.
You know, I really wish, and I think I may, I don't know, I might have thrown it away. I had a New World Order shirt.
Oh.
From back in the day.
You know,
I used to do a lot with Time Warner, and they would send me New World Order, WCW stuff, WWF stuff.
Did you see Titus O'Neil's Facebook posts regarding Super Bowl tickets?
Don't bother me.
Yeah, he's like, don't bother me. He's like, I'm taking my kids to every, like they've done for the last 13 years. They've gone to every championship game, every this and that, every Super Bowl. Don't hit me up for tickets. If you haven't contributed to the Thaddeus Bullard Family Foundation.
Well, he said, even if you have, don't bother.
That's true. He did slide that in there.
Yeah. You know, because I was going to reach out because, again, my brother would like to buy a pair. But when you can buy your Gladiator for the price of two tickets.
Crazy.
I wouldn't pay that kind of money, honestly, for anything. I can't think of one thing that I would spend $30,000.
But you're different, though. Because you've been to everything.
No,
you've done everything. You've been backstage for everything. Unless
I'm jaded.
Unless you're on the field with the guys. Like, not even sideline.
I wouldn't do it.
Unless you're like the guy flipping the coin.
If I'm in the game.
Yeah, you wouldn't even do it for that.
Again, I'm jaded, so it's unfair.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of Buccaneer fans that are like, you know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And
sure.
I'm like, well, it's really not. Because they've been in the game before.
Yeah, but if you're 18 years or younger, you have not been to one.
Well, this was an older person, and he was making it out to be them playing at Ray J. I don't think that makes too much. It's still the Super Bowl.
Sure.
I mean, the Bucs in San Diego was just as exciting, just as big, just as whatever to me as it will be when I'm there. Hopefully I can slide in. I'm going to pretend I'm a Pepsi salesman.
Let's bring pizzas. Listen, we fill up a dolly full of pizzas or our hands are full. We can't like show credentials and we can just walk in. You carry the Pepsi.
All right. I'm pretty sure you proved last year
that it works.
That it doesn't work.
What do you mean it doesn't work?
You didn't get in.
When?
When you tried to get into the stadium.
I would have got in. Steve Lanay would have been left in the cold.
There is no way you would have gotten in.
I was worried he was going to die in the frozen tundra.
I was worried I was going to shoot you and kill you.
That was on the ride to the Super Bowl on Alligator Alley.
No, the crap that you did at the stadium, and you still didn't get in.
No, I could have got in. You guys wouldn't have got in.
I guarantee you, you wouldn't have gotten
in. I'm very persuasive when I have
pizzas. Oh, no, I would have yelled to her that you're a scammer. Don't let this putz in. We will have some tickets to give away to the polo event. It's in Sarasota. It's Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's cool.
It's going to be pretty cool. I think that I'm going to go and take my wife.
Okay, I'll bring my wife.
She's welcome.
Okay, I'll bring my goggles so we can go underwater.
She is welcome. Okay. If she wants to drive with us, she's welcome.
So she doesn't have to talk to me.
You're not going.
Oh.
I'm more than happy to bring her. Scheduled on today's program, Dean Thomas will be on momentarily,
Dean,
where we'll talk about what happened Saturday night.
It's your boy.
I don't think it was necessarily a huge shock.
I think this was
a different Dustin Poirier.
It's a shock.
I don't think it was a shock.
The whole world's shocked.
No.
But I didn't like the new Conor McGregor. I don't like the respect for Conor McGregor. I don't like those handshakes and the I don't like it.
I'm looking at it this way. When you can't back it up, you have to be more polite.
That's true.
Maybe he knew he was going to lose.
It's possible.
I'm just saying.
That's possible.
You know, it's one thing when you talk crap and then you have to back it up. You know, my good buddy Lawler.
Robbie?
No, not Robbie.
Oh.
You know, when he used to come out all the time and dressed and, you know, he dressed and came out with like Hulk Hogan in Canada to I'm a Real American and then lost.
Right. Yeah, you can't do that.
You know, and you can't do that.
Yeah, so if you can't back it up, yeah, it does change the intensity of how you trash talk.
All right, let's hit a break. Dean has something to do at the bottom of the hour, so we're going to hit a break. When we come back, we're going to reach out to my brother from another mother, Dean Thomas.
I'm going to get my stand-up comedy jokes ready for him.
You're going to not have your mic even on. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Stab Song. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Hall of Famer Deacon Jones, and we're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza. That's Tour de Pizza.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070. How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Baines Art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Baines can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainesart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Steve Young. You're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris, straight from Tampa Bay.
Like, a legitimate question.
Have you been in and out of locker rooms your whole life? Like, do the football guys do the same thing like the hockey guys, where it's like a playoff beard, where it's like, you know, you grow it until you lose, and it's like this manly, like, badge of brotherhood.
Is this your first day covering sports? I'm just asking.
Second.
First hour?
Minus two, carry the one. Yep.
Okay.
It is, officially. But you know, is it a thing?
It is a hockey tradition. Ah. And in case you didn't know, it is not a hockey game at Raymond James next Sunday. It is what we like to call.
Because I did see Tom Brady with, like, a pirate, my mustache, like, looking all awesome.
Do you see that one where, and I don't know if that was recent, or because Sean said that he did it before when he had that little smirk. There's something wrong with that little smirk that he did.
Yeah.
And then Gronk came next to him.
Yeah.
You know.
So I don't know, but if you do have a playoff beard and you're into that kind of thing and you've been growing it out because you want the Buccaneers, the hometown team, to win the first time in 55 years.
Well, you can have a beard and want the hometown team to lose too.
Well, if you do, you should go down to the machine shop in downtown St. Pete, see my boy Nate Dog, Nate Lastinger, and check it out. Like, and he can groom that up. I don't know. Can you groom it? Is it bad luck? Is it like walking under a ladder or like stepping on a crack?
Again, if you're talking about the hockey tradition, yes.
Well, hockey season's in, so it's so any beard is fair game right now, right?
I don't know. At some point, maybe we'll get him on and he can tell
us. I know I lost the brothers last week when I shaved my beard. I know my Instagram count went down. I lost friends. But now I'm on my way back. You see the stubble's coming in. I see yours is coming back.
All right, here's the thing about you. I always thought you were a leader, but you're not.
I do follow.
You are a huge follower. We like to call that a sheep.
I'm a fan.
You're a sheep.
I'm a fan. I'm a goat. I'm like,
you're far from a goat.
No, I'm a goat. I'm pretty much a goat of radio. I mean, Tom Brady is a goat of football. There's like three goats in Tampa right now. There's Hogan, there's Brady, and there's the Naked Pizza Man.
There's a goat. There's someone on the list of goatness. You know, we have to figure out where Terry falls.
That was number one.
And then there's the donkey. Because every goat needs a donkey right behind him. And you do that awesome.
Well, thank you very much.
So, big fight last week.
Huge fight last week.
Main event, co-main event. Our local guy, you know, change of opponents and stuff. But let's start at the top. Let's talk about Conor McGregor. Let's talk about the game plan. You know, and I'm so against game plans. And I've always said every time we have a fighter on, how can you have a game plan when you don't know what the opponent's going to do on your first strike, on your first this? So it's not necessarily a game plan. But with that said, Dustin Poirier's game plan was incredible.
Yeah, no. Dustin showed out by far his best performance of his career. And I drank the Jim Jones Kool-Aid, man. I believed Conor McGregor was in the best shape of his life. I believed that his coach said he was in the best condition of his life. And I believed with all that I was that Conor McGregor was drinking up to the Khabib fight and that he was focused this time and he had a new haircut and he didn't do any of the crazy antics and he was focused on his career and his legacy. And I was disappointed on Saturday. He let me down.
Were you more disappointed in the outcome, his performance, or the supposed new, calmer, nicer Conor McGregor?
Well, I don't like the new Conor McGregor. I don't mind the respect after, but I like the hype up to it. I miss the trash talking, Conor.
Well,
I miss the.
Let me throw this out real quick, though. It's really difficult to talk crap and try to, you know, to Dustin Poirier. I'm just saying.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Guys, right.
And they're sharing like hot sauces and they're sharing hugs and they're raising money for charities. So it had a different feel altogether. I mean, you know, so starting out at the weigh-ins, they were doing something to help so many other people that are in need. So you can't hate, you know, on the weigh-in. I mean, I get it. But I miss the old Conor. And I don't know if we'll ever see it again.
I don't know. I'm trying to pull up real quick because there's been quite a few fights where you said you drank the Kool-Aid. I've been dead against the Kool-Aid for so long in a lot of the fights where I was picking against him. You know, I thought Cowboy Cerrone was going to beat him.
Yeah. Well, Cowboy didn't train against like a shoulder strike. You know,
no, I understand, but I'm saying, you know, whatever that saying is, even a squirrel finds a nut. You know, I thought Dustin Poirier was going to win the fight. I thought he could win the fight. I thought that Donald Cerrone was going to win the fight. I thought he could win the fight. He didn't. I took and thought Habib would win, and of course he did. I'm pretty sure that I thought Eddie Alvarez was going to beat Conor.
But what? So where's Dustin now? Is he the champ? Is he interim champ?
He's not the champ. He's not
uncrowned champ is what I saw on the hashtags, and I saw the.
You know, uncrowned. What does that even mean?
Do you think you're the champ, but you haven't?
Well, but does he think it, or do the fans think it?
Who's the champ? Khabib.
Habib is.
He retired.
Did
he vacate the belt?
I don't think so.
Huh.
Because if he did relinquish it, that should have been
the title fight.
Even though Conor didn't deserve to fight for the title.
Absolutely not. That was just a fight for the tickets.
So who do you think should fight Dustin Poirier next? It's
got to be Gaethje again, the rematch.
No.
It has to be. No. Gaethje just fought Habib for the title. And Gaethje has improved just as much as Poirier has. And that fight, they were number four, number five going at it. And it was a rock'em sock'em robot in the middle of the octagon. So, of course, that's the fight. And then the winner of that fight gets to go back and challenge the non-existent Khabib. who's not coming back.
Who pretty much said there is no reason for him to come back.
Right.
You know, why would he come back?
He's not coming back.
He's head and shoulders, which he is.
Above
everybody else.
All those guys.
See, I think, and a lot of people are talking, and I wanted to look up because I don't normally even care about rankings. Gaethje is listed higher than Oliveira, which I didn't necessarily think he was. But, you know, Poirier is sitting at the top. They still show Khabib as the champ.
Huh.
And for the performance that Poirier gave, and for Khabib to say, not even in my stratosphere.
Right. I don't think you see Khabib come back. I think he's satisfied with what he's accomplished. I think his father's passing, you know, he's taken on the role as the patriarch of the family. I don't think he has any reason to come back.
No, I mean, he doesn't. But how many times have these athletes walked away and then you see him still fighting into their 50s?
Right.
What are they going to do? He doesn't need right. to do anything.
Oh, Arlovski's still fighting. I mean, that's all you need to know about.
I think in a couple of weeks he's fighting. You know, if Khabib gets bored, all he has to do is, you know, send a pigeon to Putin, and Putin will get him
of
to
course.
Do something.
But the question is, like, he has 4 world titles against guys you probably don't know the names of. You know, so it's, if he's going to stay in the fight game, it's only to track down John Jones as the greatest of all time without an asterisk. I mean, other than that, what else does he have to prove?
I don't think it's even in the same.
Because winning 5 world championships, winning 7, still is nothing compared to what some of these guys have done. Like Demetrius Johnson, you know, title defenses, what, like 12 in a row? Anderson Silva, right? So I mean, unless he's going to go after greatest of all time status because of, like, pride and honor and, like, legacy, other than that, I don't see him coming back to the octagon.
I don't think he is either. But, again, I don't think he's even in the conversation. Well, he's in the conversation, but John Jones is the GOAT.
For sure.
You know.
And Amanda Nunes is probably the second.
Probably.
Oh, the fight game.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what
we're talking about. At this current point. I mean, until she loses.
You know, let's be honest. As I'm looking at Khabib's victories,
yep.
And you do have to take into, you know, account who you have fought.
Absolutely.
I still think John Jones has fought tougher competition.
No question.
Khabib beat Justin Gaethje.
Yep.
A-plus fight. He beat Dustin Poirier, who was the interim title.
Yep.
I'll give that, you know, an A-plus.
The closest guy that came to beat Khabib was Al Iaquinta.
Because he carried him.
For 5 rounds. For 5 rounds, Al Iaquinta took Khabib to the, you know, that was in Brooklyn. We were there. We watched that fight live. I took a picture with Khabib's brother, and I thought it was Khabib. But you're like, why'd you take a picture with that guy? I'm like, that's Khabib. He's fighting tomorrow. You're like, that's not Khabib. That's his brother. But, you know, they look the same.
Yeah, well,
but Al Iaquinta, ranked number 10 at the time, filled in and took over that spot when Tony Ferguson couldn't fight and Max Holloway couldn't make the weight cut and Dr. Davison pulled the plug on that thing. So, yeah, Al Iaquinta is probably the next one up for the fight. He should rematch
Al Iaquinta.
Al Iaquinta. You heard it here first, folks. Al Iaquinta. Raging Al. Go get your title, boy. Put your hand up.
I think you could beat Al.
Oh, I can.
Now, obviously, you can't.
I could take the, what is it, the 170 weight class?
Take that.
It's all day.
I do not believe that you could beat a single fighter in the UFC.
Don't you say that.
A single.
That's blasphemy. Why would you say that?
In any weight class.
Oh, are you serious? I'm a pizza guy.
In any weight class.
You know how many people I've knocked out in a restaurant?
Yeah.
Like, there are knives here. There's people on OxyContin and, like, meth.
Again, just like I just said about Khabib, look at who you have fought.
Dangerous people that are on substances.
Give me a weight class. Give me a weight class that you would want to fight.
155.
Well, you wouldn't be at 155.
I absolutely would. I'm Mike Chiesa at 155. And anyone else would be Diego Sanchez. And I would just manhandle whoever they put in there.
We're going to still do that David Vieira fight.
Let's do it.
And will you think less of me when I laugh when you're choked unconscious?
No, but I'm not going unconscious.
Yes, you are.
I'm not. But yeah. I'm on the GNAT every day. I'm getting better every day.
Well, that's going to do a lot.
I'm 45 years old. I'm be like the greatest physique you've ever seen at 45. And I'm going to win. Put all your money on black. All in.
Are you done?
Sure. But I'm very upset that Conor McGregor lost.
You're upset about it.
I am, because he's the best pipe promoter in the history of promote. He's the white Don King.
Why do you use the word goat all the time?
Because he's the white Don King. Nobody sells more tickets than that guy.
Well, and he'll sell just as many.
Speaking of hype,
he will sell just. I don't care about your hype. He will sell just as many tickets in his next fight as he did in it. Yes, he will. Of course he will.
Not unless he brings the personality back.
I don't think so. I think he could still go. You know, I got to get back on this.
This thing flew under the radar. No, he didn't make the waves like he usually did. He didn't throw any energy drinks across the room. He didn't do any crazy antics. He didn't have any cool suits with the wording. You know, he didn't do the showmanship that he's known for. Yeah,
he's older.
That hurts.
He's older.
No,
he's more mature.
But speaking of hype train. Jake Paul has accepted a fight against your boy, Ben Askren.
I don't think he accepted it. I think Ben Askren accepted.
Okay, Logan called him out.
So
Logan says that he's never been in a boxing match, that Ben Askren won't be able to shoot in and take down and when he gets into trouble in deep waters. And are you buying or selling that Jake Paul will knock out Ben Askren?
Will Masvidal be training, Paul?
That's a good question. That's a great question. But there's no flying knees in this sport.
You know, a lot's on the line, obviously, with Ben. But when it's all said and done, they don't care. He doesn't care. I mean, he wants to win the fight.
Who's the other guy, the YouTube guy? Dylan something? He's like another hype guy. He wrote, congratulations, guys. That pay-per-view is going to sell 20 shows or 20 tickets. Because nobody wants to see Ben Askren fight. Do you want to see Ben Askren fight?
I don't want to see Paul fight.
Really?
Well, I have zero.
Oh, I want to see him. He did good.
You want to see him because you want to see him get knocked out?
I like the hype. I like the talking. And you know, if McGregor's stepping aside, and he's going to be this like humble, polite, respectful dude. But
the thing about Ben Askren, all right, let's be honest. Ben Askren has been throwing punches for years.
Right.
Okay. It's only part of his fight game. I get that. But there's a big difference between two guys that really have no clue what they're doing. You know, you can train a little bit. Ben Askren knows how to fight.
Yeah, but Ben Askren is fighting with different gloves on.
I understand that.
The range is different.
But what do you think they train in? They don't train in MMA gloves when they're sparring.
Sure. No, I understand that. But the timing is different. The range is different. The movement is different.
Are you implying, before I hit this break, and think of this carefully, because once I turn your mic off, it may not go back on.
Okay.
Do you think Ben Askren's going to lose?
Yes.
Wow. All right.
I think Ben Askren loses.
I think it's two totally different. I've always said take a boxer over an MMA fighter. Take an MMA fighter over a boxer in that discipline. But you're taking a guy that's really not a fighter. He's really not a fighter.
Which one? Askren?
No. Let's hit a break. I'm done with you. When we come back, there may be somebody new sitting in that seat. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Song. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm James Lofton, and you know who you are on the other side of the dial, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Bain's Art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Bain's can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainsart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Sean Payton. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Freeze frame!
Do you think Sean Payton's going to even watch the game?
I think so. Jaded. Not doing.
Brian? Think Sean Payton should take over the Packers?
Because
somebody needs to take over the Packers.
Because a bad call that they made.
Wasn't a bad call, but LaFleur went to the coaching school of Kevin Cash.
Yeah.
What can I possibly do to screw my team the worst? Okay, we'll kick a field goal down 5.
Yeah. If you think about it, if Kevin Cash wouldn't have taken out his horse, his thoroughbred, right? Because we're going to the polo thing on the Valentine's Day, apparently.
I'm going.
We are a team.
We are not French.
But if he takes out his thoroughbred, Blake Snell, and they lose, you know, we could have had.
I know where his house is on Coffee Pod.
Yeah,
whatever.
I know. I delivered to him. Okay. But this could be Champa Bay. We could be the Champa Bay. Everything, Lightning, Bucks.
Well, no, this is better because you know we get to share it with LA. If the Bucks win, they have 2. LA has 2, and then of course you can give the half a vote to the Rowdies.
Yeah, because COVID canceled the championship game. So I mean, all of our sports teams did so well this year, and then yeah, we could have had the World Series here, except for that one blunder. And how do you win the Coach of the Year if you like make that call in the playoff?
Because all
or
of
in that World Series,
all of the voting is done before the playoffs.
That's terrible.
Well, it's really not. It's not.
Because you would think it would go to the winning coach. Dave Roberts deserves to be Coach of the Year.
The problem with that is, and in this case, the Los Angeles Dodgers had the best team. Let's be honest.
Yeah, but they...
Hold on a second. Let me finish. They had the best team. They spend the most money. They have been consistent year in and year out. You expect Dave Roberts and the Dodgers to be there, right?
But they had to overcome adversity, getting so close in the letdown each year.
No, changing out players.
I think Dave Roberts is the manager of the year.
The only adversity they had to overcome is the cheating in Houston. That's the only thing that they had to overcome. But the Rays don't have the best team. They don't have the best team in their division, not alone conference. You know, not alone in the entire Major League Baseball. So,
but this is their only chance to win it. Because this season was set up for a team like the Rays, a young club. The average player was what, like 26 years old or 28 years old. They had the youngest, freshest legs. They were playing day after day after day in a bubble. So if this wasn't their season, you know, then they're never going to win a whole 162 games roster like with a full playoff.
That has nothing to do with the Coach of the Year.
Well,
you know, just because you want to give Kevin something other than you want to take away something from Kevin other than, you know, his pizza.
Right.
He did earn it. He pulled off a miracle.
But you can't put that blunder. You can't make that kind of mistake and cost yourself or your team the championship and then still get the highest prize in coaching. You can't. You shouldn't.
It all is during the season.
But it should be done after. I want to start a petition that no award is given, no MVP, nothing, because the MVP isn't even in the championship games. It's like the All-Star game. The best players don't even play in it.
I feel like I'm talking to my grandmother, and she's been dead for years. Okay?
Why? Because the mothballs? Smell like mothballs?
The award is for the regular season. There is an award for the playoffs.
I'm going to start my own commission. And I'm going to govern it. I'm going to make my own selections.
So in your own, Major League Baseball announced that there'll be no inductees again for the Hall of Fame. A, give me your thoughts. And give me your thoughts on Curt Schilling, who demanded they take his name off the ballot.
I would like to see Pete Rose be the only induction to the Hall of Fame this year.
I disagree.
With the COVID asterisk next to it. Pete Rose, Charlie Hustle, the greatest baseball player ever to play the game, with the most passion, the most heart. I think Charlie and I would be the best friends. That's who I should really hang out with, is Pete Rose.
Do you know the online website to hire employees?
Yes.
I'm going to post. I want a new co-host. I want a co-host because you're not even the co-host.
Well, we have Steve Linnae here. He knows his way around a microphone.
I'm turning you off because I have my new co-host on the line right now.
Oh, who's that?
He must have been busy. I'm turning you. You're done. You're gone.
No, I got to talk.
Your mic is off. Dean Thomas, what's up, man?
Hey, man, how are you?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm doing okay, man. Sorry about that. I got tied up with something, but I'm here now.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. First and foremost, I'm assuming that we won't see you on Radio Row next week.
No, I don't think I'm going to be on Radio Row next week.
Well, that's a shame. It was so much fun last year.
Yeah, it was. I had a good time.
How is life? How have you been staying busy in this, what we call the New World Order? We'll get to where you were last week, and I want to, details on that. But, just how have you been? How staying safe and staying busy?
I'm good, man. Like, I've been able to adjust really easily. Like, last year was flipped upside down for everybody. And it flipped upside down for me as well. So, I've been able to stay really busy. I'm in an industry that is thriving right now. And I'm living a life that I've created for myself that I'm just blessed to be doing. So, man, it couldn't be better for me in that aspect.
Is there a possibility that you could do training via Zoom?
I doubt it. I'm a hands-on guy. You know this, Randy. I'm a hands-on guy.
I know. I just, everybody else is doing everything by Zoom. I figured there's got to be some way, that you can do some of this by Zoom.
So, there's some video stuff that I can do, but I like to be in the mix, man. I like to feel it, to smell it, taste it.
Last week you were in some small island with some small main event that a lot of people are very happy about. Talk to me, and we'll talk about Fight Island and, some things about that because I still haven't gone out there. But let's talk about, the job that Dustin Poirier did last Saturday night.
Man, Dustin was phenomenal, and I couldn't be more happy for him. I've, known Dustin for a long time and watched him come up. I've watched him take his lumps. I've watched him come back. And for him to be in the place that he's at and to live in that space right now is just incredible. And I'm so happy for him. I'm so proud of him to have avenged that loss to Conor McGregor and in the fashion that he did it. And I had a nice talk with him to the airport because we were on a bus together going to the airport. And he's just telling me how he's never felt freer in a fight because, he's got money. He said he's finally got money. He's made money. And he's not fighting for that. He's just fighting because he loves to fight. And the fact that he got a chance to fight, Conor again, and he didn't feel like Conor's mystique this time. It was just fighting another guy. He felt good about that. And he said he's never felt freer when he stepped inside that cage and the lights came on. Now, before the fight, he said he was a little stressed, but when he got in there and the fight started, he said he's never felt better. And I was just so proud of what he's done.
did it seem, because a lot of people have called in and a lot of people have texted and tweeted and all that kind of stuff, that it seemed like it was a not taking anything away from Dustin, you know, and I want to talk about game plan and all that stuff. But it seemed like, you know, it was a different Connor. It was a more calm Connor. You know, Matt was bringing up about, you know, there was no trash talking. Of course, how do you trash talk to Dustin Poirier? You know, I don't think that's possible.
I mean, he did the first time.
Did you? Well, yeah. No, I'm saying Saturday night.
Yeah, it is a different. But it's everybody's different. Right? Everybody evolves as people in some fashion. And this is what Connor is in life right now. I mean, he's a guy who was hanging out with Tony Robbins. So, like, Connor's a different person right now. This is who he is. He was a different person when he fought Donald Cerrone. He murked Donald Cerrone. So he's a different person. I mean, the reality is that he got exposed. You know, Dustin Poirier exposed him. He exposed his. And what I'll say is, Connor's been really good about picking his fights and choosing the right battles at the right time. You know, Dustin's a guy who fought everybody, so he has more experience in those in that realm. So what it was he got exposed. He got his inexperience got exposed. And you know, when Connor goes out there and knocks a guy out, he doesn't get the experience of being in a war, a battle. So when he got into a war or battle with Dustin, and Dustin took his best shot, he got exposed. And that's really what happened.
You know, I've talked for years and years and years, and I always say about game plan, and how do you have a game plan when you don't know what your opponent is going to do on your first this, your first that? With that said, Dustin's game plan was incredible. It was awesome. And as people sat back, it's like, why is he just throwing the leg kicks? And later on, it showed why.
Yeah, I believe in having a game plan always. I mean, you look at any other sport in, you know, in that we know of. I mean, think of it. Like, the NFL, like, their whole week is dedicated to game planning for their team that they're playing. And it makes a difference. It makes a big difference when you know what your opponent's going to do. And or you can trap them into doing what you think they're going to do. So, you know, it's important. And they knew that Connor wasn't good at checking leg kicks. And they know that Connor panics when he gets in a little bit of trouble. And they you're right. They had a perfect game plan. You know, not box with him, kick him in his leg. And then if he gets come down. And exactly what he did.
When you put a game plan together, Dean, how many, if they do that, you do this? If they do that, you do this. Do you have to prepare for?
You want to prepare for as many of them as you can, but then you also have to leave some wiggle room for flexibility. So, like, that's where you kind of draw the line. I mean, you have a game plan and go, all right, we expect him to do this. We know he's good at this. We expect him to do that. So you have those answers, but then you also go, well, if he doesn't do any of that, I still got to know how to fight.
Makes sense. See, that's why we have the expert on, because I just make up stuff as we go. Since you were there, you're tight with everybody there. Why was that not for the title?
I don't know. Honestly, I have no idea. I think perhaps it was, you know, we still want Khabib to come back. I mean, Khabib's, you know, I think that's what it is. Like, if Khabib comes back, he's the champ. So I think there's still some let's get Khabib back.
Do you think he'll come back? I mean, I think he's the type of person, and of course, everybody who says never again, well, not every, almost everyone that says never again, almost everyone who says I'm done, I'm retired, they do come back, no matter what it is. Do you think Khabib is the type of guy that would come back?
Well, I sat and watched an event with him, the UAE Cage Warriors with him, and he loves MMA. You could tell, like, he still trains. Like, he trains every day like he's fighting. I mean, it's just a matter of him just waking up one morning and go, you know what, I'm not done yet. I mean, he's 32 years old. He still loves the game. He's taking no punishment. He's got no damage on his body. I think there's a good chance he could come back, but it has to be on his terms.
Sure. You know, and it could be. You know, I mean, Dana could offer him, you know, the kitchen sink. You know, who knows? What was it like, and I know you've been out there before, talk about the experience at Fight Island. I saw a tweet that you said and some of the things that you guys have been doing out there. You know, let us know. What have you been doing out of Fight Island?
Well, I was out there at a different experience than the fighters were. So I was out there actually with Dana, which is like being in royalty in Abu Dhabi. So, you know, I had a little bit more luxury and some leniency in what I could do. Like, I had an opportunity to leave the bubble a few times to film looking for a fight. So that was good for me. You know, we got and that episode is out. Like, you can find that on the UFC's YouTube channel. Looking for Dana White, looking for a fight. I was also filming The Dean Diaries, which is going to be airing, I think, next Monday on YouTube, on the UFC's YouTube channel. So you can look at that, in which I got a chance to look at. I'm giving everybody a chance to look inside the coach's perspective. So I got a chance to talk to some of the high-profile coaches that were on this card. So I think you will appreciate that. But other than that, like, you just hang out. You know, most people go to the pool and just train and just hang out. The last time we were on Fight Island, we had a little bit more leniency. We were able to go to the beach, but this time they really locked it down because there was still too many COVID cases.
Take me back in time. I don't know if I ever even asked you this. How did you get this gig? Did Dana just call up one night and say, I think you're the guy?
No. There was another guy who was on the show, and he had an argument with Dana, and he had beef with Matt, and, you know, it just wasn't working out. He wasn't very easy to work with. And so they got rid of him. And they were like, man, who can we get? And me and Matt Sarah had always been friends, and we were on the show together, The Ultimate Fighter Season 4. And they go, who can we get that says no to... That never says no. Who can we get that never says no? They said Dean Thomas. Then they called me and they said, "Hey, do you want to do this this show?" And I said, "Sure, I'll do it." I said, "What?" And they said, "You got to leave tomorrow." I said, "Perfect. I got a bag in the car, man. Send me my ticket. And I'm out." And I did. And I was on a show that was like 4 years ago.
Was this said person? Did he just get dropped on planet Earth to figure that he can argue with Dana? How did that go down?
I don't know. Well, I think he had known Dana for a long time, so I guess he thought he had some liberties that other people don't have, that he could speak his mind to Dana. But, you know, and he could, and it didn't work out for him, but you know, that's on him.
What's the craziest thing during, you know, any of these, you know, broadcasts that you're doing with Dana and Matt? And, you know, we've all seen some of them. I don't know if people have seen every single one of them. But what's the craziest thing that in the back of your head you're thinking, I don't really like this, but like you just said, I don't say no?
Swimming with sharks. Yeah. And that's easy. And the funny thing is we did that right, you know, 20 minutes from my house when we filmed the South Florida episode. We did it in Jupiter, Florida, swimming with sharks. And sometimes I think back to that experience and go, what was I thinking? Why did I do that?
Because you don't say no.
Yeah, I don't say no. You're right. I still can't believe I did that.
What fight are you most intrigued, you know, to watch? Whether it's booked, whether it's a made up, you know, it would never happen. What fight would you really like to see?
I want to see, and I noticed it because I just answered this. I want to see John Jones and Stipe.
Okay. As do a lot of people. As do I. Do you think that would tarnish? Will that tarnish John if it's not competitive? Will it tarnish John if he doesn't win?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we know how great John is. I mean, John, you know, he's what tarnishes him is his behavior outside the fight, the cage, you know. I don't think. In fact, it could probably make him great. You know, like, everybody needs a rival or everybody needs a loss to see how they bounce back from that. So, like, that's what makes fighters great, is like, how do you respond when you have a tough fight or when you lose? Can you come back? And I think that's what people resonate with, because nobody's perfect. And I think that as human beings, when we look at these fighters and they're that's why I think nobody really likes Mayweather, because he comes off as perfect. But no, we're not perfect. So, like, we like to relate to people that aren't perfect. I think a loss for John Jones would be good if he comes back and fights harder. So I think that would be great for him.
You know, I've argued that numerous times with, you know, and I know, and you're one of the many people that tell me, stop arguing, stop, get off social media, all that stuff. But, you know, people that bring up John Jones and the GOAT status and things that happened outside of the octagon, they do the same thing here locally with Warren Sapp. And I keep trying to give my opinion that what they've done outside of the sport shouldn't affect where their ranking is of a greatest of all time or in the top whatever on what they've done in the sport.
I mean, you're 100% right about that. But I mean, in terms of, like, legacy and what they'll be remembered for.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hey, Dean, so coming up in March 13th, to be exact, the after the cage documentary, you know, the final round essentially. Like, if you were in that documentary, what would you want to be remembered for after your fighting days? Like, is it your coaching, your stand-up comedy career?
I can answer that for him.
Okay.
Yeah, can I answer for you, Dean?
Yeah.
The first, his very first interview and how awesome it was.
That is true. You were my very first interview, man. I was so nervous.
We had a great time. I remember that.
But do you think about your legacy after the fighting days? Like, are you like, what do you want to be known for after the cage?
I think for me, I like being a Renaissance man, someone who was able to do it all. And you know, I might not have been the best fighter, I might not be the best commentator, I might not be the best any one thing, but I was always pretty good, and I could always hold own in anything, and I like that idea that you could put me in any situation and I'll hold my own. I might not, you know, 50 points, but you know, I'm gonna get my 12. Just, you know,
Dean, I always ask, how do I politely put this? Athletes that are no longer active. Is that an okay way to say it?
Retired.
I don't like using that word. You know, have you ever thought about, you know, if you were fighting today at the younger age that you were when we first met? You know, it's, you know, a lot of people have different answers to that. Some would like it, some wouldn't. Have you ever thought about it?
You know, I thought about it a few times, and I think I would still do pretty good. I mean, obviously the competition is so much better today. Everybody is better, but I still think I would do pretty good just the way my mind works. Cause I feel like I'm always still ahead of people in the thought process. Even with the game, how the game is today, I still think that I'm mentally better than most fighters are. So I think I would still do the game. I don't know. I don't know if I would do better than I did before. I think I would be okay.
Well, you know, on the flip side of that, where I think you would, is that everything is different. You know, the training would be different. You know, how you train is different.
For sure. I'd have different resources, train better. So, yeah, I would still be okay.
I remember asking all of you guys back in the day, you know, MMA's just starting here in the country, and, you know, people don't like it, people didn't watch it, and as things changed, and I would always ask, how big can this sport go? Did you ever expect it to be at the level that it is now?
No. I mean, I remember the first time I saw UFC on a plane. I was sitting on a plane, I was watching Robbie Lawler fight, I think Kobe. And I was like, I can't believe I'm watching the UFC on, I'm 30,000 in the air and I'm watching UFC on TV. I couldn't believe it. And it almost brought a tear to my eye, because I remember thinking, like, that's what I always wanted, was for my sport to be recognized as a real, legit sport and not just some underground fight club. And to see where it is today, it's mind-blowing. And I'm just so happy that I'm still involved in it.
I got that feeling, honestly, last year at the Super Bowl on Radio Row. You know, I've been around, longest running, blah, 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 blah. And I said it to Dana when he came on the show, what it meant to me to see all of the athletes, all of the MMA fighters, all of the UFC fighters walking around Radio Row, and all these radio stations that would never give our sport, and even though I shouldn't say ours, you know, the time of day, wanting everybody on, wanting to talk to them. To me, it was like, holy cannoli, it has made it.
Yeah, we're there. We're there with the best of them.
Now, 4 point whatever billion. Yeah, you're definitely there. All right, we're almost at the top of the hour. Before I let you go, fill everybody in on when they can see you again, when your YouTube, when Matt wants to come see you perform next time.
I want to open for you.
No.
I got material.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait. Well, you can find all my stuff on my social media, Twitter, Instagram, at Dean Thomas. Dean is spelled D-I-N. Thomas is T-H-O-M-A-S, at Dean Thomas. Check me out. I'm trying to be everywhere. Everywhere you turn, you're going to see my face. My 2021 is going to be my year. You can't get rid of me.
Unfortunately, this is radio, so people will not be able to see your face right now. When I tell you, we're going to send you some wicked good cupcakes.
Oh, I can't wait.
Dean, always great to talk to you. Love you to my death. Pleasure, can't wait to see you.
All right, my man. Let's see. Always great to talk to you.
take care. That is Dean Thomas. He is such a cool
Dean's
dude.
A man.
Yeah, he truly is. And it was his first interview. At Buccaneer training camp in Orlando.
Wow.
It was craziness. All right, 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. We'll talk a little bare knuckle fighting right around the corner. We'll have some tickets to give away. We do have some tickets to give away for the polo event that you are not going to, and a whole lot more in the second hour. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Stop Zone. We'll be right back.
I took her home to my place, watching every move on her face. She said, look, what's your game?
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Mike Ditka, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City.